Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today, we're going to be learning together Divrei Hayomim Beis Perek Yud, the 10th chapter of the second book of Divrei Hayomim. Our Perek contains 19 psukim and it's directly parallel parsha can be found in Melachim Aleph Perek Yud Beis. The topic is the split of the kingdom. In the first five psukim, we hear about the coronation of Rechavam and the request of the people to have a tax break. What happens is that as Shlomo Melech dies, Rechavam takes the reign, he takes the crown, and the people invite him to Shechem for a coronation ceremony. And we hear about Yerovam ben Nevat is in Egypt, he is sent for and he comes to Shechem, and all the people come in front of Shlomo and they make the following request. They say, look, your father Shlomo gave us a very hard tax burden, whether it means financially or the work they had to commit to every year. And they ask, please give us a little bit of a break and we will serve you. So Rechavam's answer is, give me 3 days, I'll come back to you. Okay, so just a few questions before we go further. Who is Yerovam ben Nevat and why is he in Egypt? So if you go to Melachim Aleph, you actually find a little more in Perek Yud Aleph, which is not mentioned here in Divrei Hayomim, that he comes from the tribes of the north, so he is one of the children of the B'nai Rachel, and his mother was a widow. He was a servant of Shlomo Melech, and he already started during the times of Shlomo Melech to agitate. He felt that Shlomo Melech built the Miloy. The Miloy was a sort of auditorium area, a gathering area outside of the palace. He felt that Shlomo Melech had sent tax money there, public tax money there, inappropriately. And Shlomo Melech, seeing that this was obviously a man of great potential and leadership, sent him as a tax collector to the north. On the way to the north, Yerovam receives a prophecy from Achiah Ashiloni, one of the great prophets of the time, who takes his coat, rips it into 12 pieces, gives him 10 of them, and says, you'll be the king of the north, because that's what Hashem wants. And he starts agitating, and ultimately Shlomo Melech sees him as a threat and exiles him to Egypt. Interesting question as to why Egypt would accept a political dissident if Egypt is an ally to Israel. But that's the background. So that's why he's in Egypt. We don't know who told him right now, but it sounds like he's trying his hand again opportunistically when he sees there's a change of the guard. A few points to notice over here as well is, generally speaking, the son of a king does not need a coronation ceremony in terms of, you know, we're choosing you. This is not a democratic system of government. So the fact that they're inviting him to a coronation already suggests there's weakness over here on Rechavam's part. Similarly, we don't know who the caller of Yerovam is, who sent for Yerovam, but it seems that already there is a lack of full and total power, which is being displayed here by the fact that this event even took place. Why Shechem? So the most natural place you would think that a coronation ceremony for the king of Israel would be in the capital, in Yerushalayim. The fact that it's in Shechem already suggests, again, a shift to power away from the king. Shechem is deep in the territory of Ephraim. This is now in the tribes of the north. So it already, Ephraim and Manasseh, the B'nai Rachel, this is already a suggestion of a shift of power dynamic as well. Rabbeinu Bachaye, Rashi, the Chidah over here, all suggest and make a very important point that Shechem is a makom mezumon leparo puranos. It's a place which unfortunately has many complications in it, many punishments to be found in it. One is the rape of Dina, two is the sale of Yosef, and three is the splitting of the kingdom. Rabbi David Foreman points out that all of them have to do with the split between two sides of the families. So the one side of the family, when it comes to Dina, is the fact that the B'nai Leah felt that Dina's rape was not fairly attended to by their father. Potentially is already a hairline fracture between the different sides of the family. The sale of Yosef, of course, is the split between the B'nai Leah and the B'nai Rachel. And finally, over here, we see it in its full fruition, unfortunately, as it widens into a large gap between the two sides. Is this request for lower tax a pretext or a real request? So the Ralbag points out that it could have actually been a real request, meaning we understand, say the people, that during the times of Shlomo and he was building the Beis HaMikdash and the palace and he was setting up international trade, we understand why it was necessary to have such a high tax bracket. But in the end of the day, right now, things have calmed down. We've established. We're now on a plateau. Why is it necessary to be so high? And that's how the request happened. It could have been that it was stimulated by Yerovam, who himself used to be a tax collector, who was using this as a pretext. But it could have been that innocently, the people themselves had the best interests in mind. Then, we see what Rechavam does. So from Sukkim Vov to Zion, he asks the elders and he says, what should I do? And they respond to him by saying, if you're good to the people, you give them a tax break, they will serve you. In fact, the formulation of this advice in the parallel Pasuk in Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Zion, is actually a little stronger, where they say, Imayom tiyeh eved la'am azeh v'avaratam, if you will be a servant to the people, then vayu l'cha l'avodim, they'll be servants to you, which is the model of servant leadership, which is counterintuitive, but it works. Then the Pesukim tell us that he disregards that advice. He goes to the youth, those people he had grown up with, the young advisors from Pesukim Ches to Yud Aleph, where they say to him, they say, no, you should show your strength, you should demonstrate that you're in charge over here, and you should say the following to them. This is the expression they use. Kotni ova mi mosni ovi. My small finger, my pinky, is thicker than the waist of my father. Meaning to say, I am so much more powerful than even Shlomo. And he goes on to say, Avi Yisari Eschem Bashotim, my father whipped you with reeds. I am going to Vani Ba'akrabim, and I'm going to whip you with scorpions. Meaning, I am going to demonstrate that I'm in charge over here as well. It's worthwhile noting that this is counterintuitive. Usually it's the elders who spend all their life paying taxes, who say that young generation, that good for nothing young generation, who didn't pay all the building funds and all the taxes, they also should pay. That's usually the way that it would go. And the young people are saying, the millennials are saying, well, why do we have to pay such high taxes? Here it's the opposite. It's the sort of that passion of youth without the experience yet, who are saying, no, everybody, we should demonstrate your power as well. By the way, how old is Rechavam at this point in time? There's a debate in the Mefarshim. The Chida puts him at around 40 years old, which means to say we're not talking about somebody in their, 20 years of age. We're talking about a person who has significant experience already and has friends who have significant experience, those who are educated with him. Is he being strong or is he being weak in this particular case? So the first thing is, the fact that this conversation even happens is a sign of weakness. He shouldn't have been in the dialogue in the first place. He should have a tax office. The request should have been submitted there. And he should have had to deal with it at an arm's length without having to deal with this. Also, even if he was confronted, it should have been a controlled environment where he wasn't asked this question. But even though he was asked this question, he should have responded perhaps more spontaneously. The fact that he asked for time, even though it's generally a wise thing to do, is also a demonstration that he hadn't thought about this, he hadn't planned for this. So these are all signs of weakness as well. What was the logic listening to the youngsters? So the Chida points out there's two models of leadership. The Torah talks about this as Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Yoshua he's going to come into the land. He has two expressions, atota voyas amazeh, atota viyas amazeh. You'll come with or you'll lead this people. And the Gemara presents two different models, whether you walk alongside or whether you walk ahead. And sometimes if you're walking ahead, you need to demonstrate that you're in charge of the power. And what's being confused over here is when to utilize each of these models. Ultimately, Rechavam believes it's time to demonstrate strength, and ultimately it is not the time. That's what we see in the next Pesukim. Yud Beis to Tes Zayin, teach us how Yeravam and all the people are waiting for Rechavam's response. Rechavam comes to them, he presents the answer, and he says, I'm going to increase the tax, your taxes. And the Pesukim tell us, as a silent narrator, that ultimately this is Koyon Sibami Ima Elokim. Why did he listen to the young people? Because this was a reason for Hashem to split the people because of the previous sins of Shlomo, and this is going to now corroborate the prophecy of Achia Shiloni. Everybody goes back to their house, and houses, and we hear that the people of Yehuda coronate Rechavam, and the people of Israel ultimately coronate Yeravam. And what is interesting is that you'll notice over here that most revolutions have a few ideological dissidents who lead them, but ultimately it is about those dissidents finding economic discontent, and that's what Yeravam does. He finds tax, which is obviously the starting point of all problems, in terms of their pocketbooks and their time and their investment, and he says, look, you're getting bad taxes. So he's using his ideological political position to stimulate the people into action, and that's what ultimately carries the day for him. And finally, what happens at the end of the perek is Rechavam then sends Hadoram, or Adoniram, different versions of his name, but he sends Hadoram, who is in charge of the tax, up to the north to collect the tax, and the people kill him. They stone him to death, at which point Rechavam realizes that he is now in a jeopardized position. He gets back into his chariot, races back to the security of Yerushalayim, and the psukim conclude by Vayishu Yisrael beveis David. The people have rebelled against the house of David ad yom hazeh, until this day. So did he not read the writing on the wall? Why was he sending his tax collector? So Rashi says, yes, he didn't realize the seriousness of this. He understood there was discontent, but he thought he'd be able to quell it, which again shows us, as Rashi's suggestion, it shows that he was really out of touch with where the people really are at, which unfortunately he didn't have much time at this point in time in his career yet to know. The Mitzuras points out that no, he actually knew the situation, knew the temperature of the water. He was sending Hadoram in order to be able to appease them, but it did not work out. The words Ada Yamazeh, the end of the Perek, are significant, as the Mitzuras points out that it means to say until the end of the goddess of the land, this was never be able to be fixed. It was never possible to fix this, although many attempts were made to join the two kingdoms, which is one of the incredible tragedies that we find ourselves in. This is the split of the kingdom. We'll see some of the reactions, Be'ezra Hashem, in the next Perek. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.